Everybody in your crew identifies as either Big Mac Burger, McNuggets, or McCrispy Sandwich. But you're the Filet-O-Fish Sandwich all day. That crispy fish, that savory tartar sauce, that melty cheese, that pillowy bun. Yeah, you get it. Every time.
And if you love the Filet-O-Fish, right now you can catch two of the classics you love for just $6. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
There was a preacher the other day at a holiness church, and he made the comment that there are people that watches his live stream every single week to try to dissect everything he says. And I was like, how do you know I'm watching?
Yeah, I'm busted. Doggone it.
Man, I thought I was incognito.
Every time you pop up on their live stream, it just says Hillbilly Broadcast watching.
Get ready, set, go. I'm kind of getting tired of our intro, Kana. At least like the tagline. Is this thing on? I don't feel like it has the same punch it used to.
Well, I think it's because you're not giving it the gumption that it needs.
why don't you demonstrate for me the gumption that I need?
Is this thing on? I never get enough volume.
You're hired. I think you need to do it from now on.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
I don't know. I liked it in the beginning, and then, like, the more I did it, like, the more douche chillier I got.
No, it's true. But I'll tell you what, it was so funny in the beginning, though. Wasn't that from, like, Phil Robertson on the Unashamed podcast?
Yeah, well, it wasn't from the podcast. It was the episode where they did the Thanksgiving thing, and they, like, took over a TV station on Duck Dynasty.
Oh, okay.
And they had him, he's like standing out there, and you know how old dudes do with technology? And he's holding this microphone, yes. He's like, got it up real, he's like, is this thing on? Can you hear me?
No, how about you speak up a little louder?
And me and John just rolled laughing at it.
Now, have you heard about, this was on the Unashamed podcast, they were talking about, he was, I believe, preaching or praying at, Sadie Robertson's wedding, and they said they were having a lot of problems, I guess, with the microphone, and so they said he was having to yell so people would actually hear him, because I guess it was a massive wedding. And so they said that, but halfway through, the microphone kicks on, and they said he's just like screaming into the microphone, and they said it was like so loud. And they said people were like laughing, like holding their ears and stuff, because he's just bellowing into this microphone that he thought was off.
Dude, when I grow up, man, I want to be Phil Robertson.
Yes. Yes. I want to be as rich as Phil Robertson.
Yeah, that too. I just love how, like, there are zero craps given by him. Like, what you think? It's not that he's mean. He's just got this whole thing of, like, you don't like it? Big deal.
It's true. I really like the guy a lot. I feel like he's a really good man, honestly. I've been listening to Unashamed podcast now consistently from I'm only on episode like 170. So I've got a long ways to go, but man, like just a lot of great things to say, and I feel like he is actually a really good man.
I've actually backed off of it a little bit lately. I need to get back into it. I don't know. Sometimes I like the little beginning stuff, like where they're just carrying on. But then other times I'm like, I just want to hear the Bible study part. I'm sure people, you know, hate it when we beat around the bush and get to a topic like we've done multiple times.
Yeah, exactly.
So where do we want to go with this one, Kanan? We've got so many things that we could talk about. I feel like I would like to talk a little bit more about some of the past episodes we've had that I feel like I never really got to address. Because I'll say this, when a guest is on, number one, I don't want to look like a fool in front of the guest.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I don't say as much, maybe, as I would normally. And then other times, after the episodes come out and you've had time to sit and think about it, you always have other things that come to your mind.
That's true. Well, let's start with, is his name Andrew Graham?
Yes.
We could kind of hit on that briefly and kind of give our thoughts and concerns on that.
Yeah, there's a lot there to be concerned about. But
there is a lot to be concerned about.
I know you were pretty, like, you usually don't speak up much during interviews, right?
I really don't. I don't. My opinion on that is like, I want to give the guy or girl that we're interviewing, I want to just give them all the time in the world. What was it Abraham Lincoln said? It's better to let people think you are ignorant than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yes.
So that is true. So I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said that. Anyway,
I thought you were getting ready to quote Abraham Lincoln when he said, "If you're a racist, I will attack you with the North." The Office. I just seen that episode the other day.
That is a good one. I remember that one. And he kind of like sat there and stuttered too. Yeah. And Abraham Lincoln said, "If you are racist, I will attack you with the North." That's about how he said it. Oh man, you could just tell he had no idea where he was going, which I almost didn't know where I was going with that.
So go ahead. Well, you were talking about giving the guests all of the time. Yeah. And I agree with that, because I feel like, actually, I just listened to an interview the other day, and it was PCI, the Predator Catchers, okay, Indianapolis.
Yes.
And
yes.
Dude, I bet you out of an hour podcast, they might have actually spoke for maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, because this guy, and actually, I thought about getting some clips of this interview just to show how aggravating it was, because, dude, he would just start talking, he would ask a question, and then he would launch into like a five-minute explanation of his question.
Oh, my word.
It was the worst interview I ever heard, and it was not on PCI's part at all. It was completely on the interviewer.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And so that's what I really want is, you know, obviously we brought them on because they know more about that topic than I'll ever know about it. So it's like, you know, give them as much time and stuff. And plus, you know, I can't say that I know a ton about, you know, about that topic. I know more than I would like to, you know, it's horrible, but no. I would say, though, probably the biggest thing that really caught my attention, and it was one part I was actually going to speak up, but then John Hopkins actually brought it out, and he couldn't have been more right. I noticed through the interview, you know, a lot of times, you know, people were talking about, like, you know, like, why don't you think they can speak out? You know, do you think it was like an abusive situation? And John hit it perfectly in the Holiness movement anyway. It's not about like abuse or anything like that, which I'm sure there are those cases. But it is just that no one talks about sex.
Yeah.
I mean, if my mom and dad and my granddad and grandma, if they even sense that conversation would even be going anywhere remotely close to that direction, all right, clean it up. enough of that filthy talk. You know. So I remember the first time I heard somebody say sex, and they said it like nonchalant. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He said sex.
They're having dirty talk.
I'm like beat red, you know, I'm just like, you know, it was just dirty. You didn't talk like that. So John spoke up on that, and I believe that he hit the nail right on the head. That was perfect. So.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. There was a lot of things that stuck out to me after that interview. And actually I was still like sitting and thinking about him and talking him over with people. And then the response that we started getting from people was, I mean, how do you describe it when somebody's writing in to tell you things because you just did a podcast on sexual abuse. I mean, it's not like normal fan mail. You know, you're not like, man, it was great. Yeah. You know, with this one, it's like, oh my Lord.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like,
don't get me wrong. I'm glad they wrote in and all that. And I,
oh yeah.
And keep doing it. Absolutely. But it's kind of like you do that episode and then all this stuff starts coming in that just kind of like really verifies it for you. And you're like, ah, man, yeah. I wish I was wrong.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I tell you what, Andrew Graham also said that he's not really hearing many conservative leaders speaking out against it. And that really kind of struck me as I let that sit and soak a little bit. It's like, yeah, that's 100% the case. You've got these big holiness churches and stuff. And even since that came out, and I know that podcast has made the rounds, it is right now, I think, our third most popular episode. And it's like, there's still zilch, zero, no talk about it. And that really disturbs me.
Well, and they won't. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about it. You know, was it you were telling me yesterday that that there was a big time preacher that was like, you don't have to tell me. I'm quite aware of it or whatever. And that's like,
yeah,
you know, what I hear from that is, you don't have to tell me. I'd rather keep my head in the sand. You know,
it's kind of how it comes across.
I mean, I don't understand how there can be so many cases. I mean, I'll even be a little generous here. Not in just the Holiness movement. It's in the Amish. It's in the Mennonites.
True.
It's in the Pentecostals. It's in the Baptists. I'm not picking on just the Holiness, but in our circles, the circles that we grew up in, the circles that we know about, we know of tons and tons of cases, and they're not talking about it. They're not really trying to. Dude, I have seen more stuff swept under the rug than it's unreal. It is real. It's mind boggling.
Here's the question I have. Why is it swept under the rug? So is this something to where people actually are just uncomfortable about it? Or is this purely we can't let the movement look bad, so therefore everybody shut up about it?
Yes. Well, I think honestly what you said there is it's a combo of a few different things. I think that it is, for one, you know, we don't want to make anybody look bad. We don't want to make the movement look bad. It's awkward to talk about, you know, no one really wants to deal with this. So I think it's a few different things, you know, and that's just me. That's just my opinion. Somebody could listen to this podcast and be like, man, you're full of it. But my opinion is I think it's a few different things like that, but they just, you know, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss it.
Yeah.
You know, they just hope it goes away. And two, you know, and this is good. This is, hang with me for a second here. They don't trust God when it comes to leading you into the walk that you should be walking with Christ, as far as, you know, whether you should, a woman should wear pants or cut her hair, or a guy should wear shorts or, you know, short sleeves or, you know, whatever. They don't trust God on God to lead you into that. But oh my, they really trust God when it comes to these pedophiles running around. Oh my, God's forgiven them. God's forgiven them. They're fine. They're all covered by the blood. Amen.
Ain't that the truth?
You know?
Yeah.
You know? So they trust God on certain things, but then they don't trust him on others. So, you know.
And to me, Kanan, that's black and white. Okay. If somebody's hurting kids, say something about it or do something about it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Why is that such a controversial thing?
I really don't know.
I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, simple-minded, and that's very possible, but it just doesn't seem like a hard thing for me.
No, no.
And especially if that movement is what they say they are and what I believe they were growing up, then it's not about the politics. It's not about, you know, keeping men in power. If it's purely about doing what's right and getting people to heaven, then say something about kids getting molested.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And something else that I really liked his response to some of that was their theology. It doesn't compute with it because they think you hit this level where you never sin anymore. And when somebody sins, they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And kind of going back to what I said a minute ago, you know, there's a story that, you know, I can't remember the names now, and I wouldn't want to put the names on here anyway. But, you know, let's just say his name was Roger. Okay. There's a guy named Roger going to this church. He's got a wife. Back 2 years ago, he got in some trouble for, I think, messing around with some underage kids. And so the wife asked this other couple from the same church, asked them if they wanted to come over, him and the kids, for maybe some ice cream or something like that. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess we can, but is Roger going to be there? He's like, well, I don't know if I'm really comfortable, you know, with that. Oh, come on. Roger hasn't done that in years. Roger's not like that no more.
Did Roger ever serve time for what he did?
Roger, as far as I know, never served any time. He never, you know, no nothing, man. Just, oh, Roger's not like that anymore. Roger got saved. Roger saved, you know, and probably sanctified and satisfied and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, who says Roger's not like that anymore? Did Roger tell you that? Because that's what he's going to say.
Yeah, that's what Roger's going to tell you. Roger's going to say, I haven't done that in at least 20 minutes. You know, like,
jeez. You know, like, holy cow. Goodness gracious.
So it's just like, you know, oh my. Anyway, I believe they're really trusting. And I think, you know, you can have those people in your church and stuff, but I think there needs to be a lot of drastic steps made. You know, we talked about the Robertson's podcast. I remember listening to Al talk about one. There was a guy that was coming to their church that had been convicted of molestation. And Al sat him down, and Al said, hey, we want you here at the church. You know, we love you. God loves you. We want you here. But this is things that you won't be doing. You know, you won't be helping out with this. When you go to the bathroom, there will be always an adult supervising you. And, you know, and I'm like, why can't all churches be like that? Can't all pastors just kind of just jump in and be like, hey, you know, hey, love you. We want you here. God loves you. But you won't be doing this. You won't be helping out with that. You will be accompanied by somebody at all times. You know, and I'm like, man, that's amazing, dude. That's great. Like,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. And that's common sense.
And yeah.
Something you just said there a little bit ago, that they're very trusting. And I think that the normal run of the mill member is like that. That's the reason why. And I think there's a lot of good people in that movement, but
yeah, I agree.
Can you say the same thing about the leadership, though, that they're just trusting? That's why they let this stuff just go and nobody talks about it, that they just have faith in that individual? Because to me, it seems like it'd be awful hard to make the case that the leader, he's just trusting, so therefore he's not going to talk about it. I think it's like cowardice or, you know, a political move because they don't want the movement tainted or something.
Yes. I believe it. I believe you're right, dude. I believe it's heavy into politics, and I would say that's probably your biggest thing right there. Is probably just, you know,
And I'm not gonna lie. I've been kind of ticked lately, and it's not that I think that our show is anything special, because it's, you know, it's not. But I know that people in that movement and leaders in that movement have heard that episode.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that. It's not that I want them to address our show. Just address the problem. Don't mention our show.
Yeah.
You never have to listen to us again. You never. But the fact they know about it, and still it's mum's the word, man. And that there's been times I've been finding myself just getting freaking angry at that.
Yeah.
Like, they know there's a problem, and they refuse to do anything about it.
Yep. Continue to just sit on their hands and do nothing.
Yeah. And this stuff's happened in the past. Why should we think it's not happening right now? And I'll tell you, I know Kane and me and you talked about this. I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast. But what was described by the local TV station in that area, and I think even the prosecuting attorney, don't hold me to that, of Hancock County, West Virginia, they described what was they said it was the worst case of sexual abuse they'd ever seen in the county.
Yeah.
And it was committed by two holiness men that me and you were around for years as kids at Clinton Camp.
Yeah, it's true. I remember watching that video, dude. That was that was unreal watching that dude. Like, so many flashbacks of like seeing them around Clinton. As soon as I saw their faces, I was like, yep, I seen them.
I know.
Seen them all the time.
I know. Yep. And for the judge, and maybe one of these days we should play the clip. I don't have it ready now, but the judge was so ticked off at the, at the dad, which was Carl Halstead. Halstead.
Yes.
He was so ticked off at him. He said, if I had the authority to do so, you would be on death row today.
Yeah. He said, but the state of West Virginia does not have.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
He was wanting to give it to him, and they don't even have it in the state of West Virginia.
So, but he's still yet. Carl Halstead got sentenced to up to 300 years. That's how bad the assault was.
Yes, yes, he did. He won't see the light of day again.
No, no, but, and thank goodness.
But here's absolutely. And here's what I find interesting. I have not heard anybody from Clinton camp say one word about that. And yes, they were there for years.
I know.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you've heard anything, I'm sorry. But I've not heard them say anything about them. And that's been, what, 3 years ago? Two, 3 years ago?
They got convicted in 2014, I think.
Okay. See, and I haven't heard anything.
I haven't either.
Anything from Clinton camp on that. And them guys were around there all the time, man.
And to me, it's like, kids just ran, you know how it was. We just had a childhood up there. We just ran free all over that place.
Oh, I know, dude. I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, like, how did we stay safe? And who possibly didn't stay safe, you know?
I know.
Up there. Of course, I was a fat little kid. No one was wanting me at that time.
So here's my thing. Instead of these preachers getting up and talking about how people just aren't taking the good old fashioned way anymore, or there's people trying to destroy the movement, or these people are just going directly against the word of God, which we all know is bull crap. Instead of getting up there and saying that, why don't you just start taking some measures to keep this kind of thing from happening in your church?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
And then, exactly right. What do we have then to holler about?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Other than your standards.
Don't even get me started on that. Dude.
We will find something to holler about.
we need to transfer over in that a little bit now.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about rapists.
So transferring over that a little bit, did you ever get the clip of this man preaching on the socks and the hat on backwards and all that?
I don't have it handy. I could get it, but it would probably take me a couple minutes.
Yeah, no, I don't want to put you out. But man, we need to get that together, dude. We got to talk about that, dude. So the listeners, so they know, we have found ourselves what we would call a gold mine. because correct me if I'm wrong, we've always like said, like, hey, this is what they're saying, you know, this is what they're spouting. It's crap, you know, don't listen to it, whatever. But we never had any really good basis, I guess you could say, because we didn't have any video or audio recordings of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them strict churches actually don't even have like any sort of live stream or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't really believe. And a lot of them don't believe in the internet, too. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So when you're the one that came across this and actually found it, and this is a church that I know of and know of well. There is some great audio stuff in there. So when that comes on, that is going to be great to just really dissect into that. That's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, I would like to play it just to prove to people what we saw.
Yeah, what we heard as young people.
Yeah, because I think I've even come across this response before, and it's valid. From people that weren't in the crazier side of the movement, like me and you were, but they'll be like, "Nah, man, them people's crazy. We don't believe like that."
Yeah,
and a lot of the big holiness churches that you see online, dude, most of their services, their sermons will be just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it'd be like, "Well, man, how do I prove this point to people?" But we found one the other day, dude. We do need, I think when you come down.
Yes.
We need to just sit, play this thing and just let people see what we're talking about.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's kind of what we decided on anyway, wasn't it? When I got down there.
I think we did talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be better. Cause man, oh my word, dude, us together sitting on a table laughing at that. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
It was crazy because yes, you're right. And just so people have a general idea of what to keep looking for in a future episode, this guy was preaching against wearing your hat backwards. He was preaching against wearing shoes with no socks.
Doggone it.
He was preaching against wearing bibbed overalls with one strap unbuttoned.
What?
I'm being totally serious, dude.
Dude.
Totally serious.
That's a new one to me.
Yeah. Dude,
that's unreal. So, I mean, so let's address the hat on backward right quick. But, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but my family, they were big and against the hat on backwards, man.
And what was the reason?
They said it was a sign of rebellion.
Yeah, that was this guy's point too, yeah.
They said that, like, you know, my dad, he would say, I'll tell you what, I don't care what little movie you watch, man, it could be a little kid movie. But I'm going to tell you something. The bad boy always has his hat on backwards. Oh, my. Okay. That's a strong argument. That's really strong. I love it.
I guess he never watched American Sniper, where the good dude puts his hat on backwards and lights some people up.
Yeah, for real. I guess he's never been on a four-wheeler either. So, I mean, there's that. Or a motorcycle. I mean... I bet you right now, dude, I walk into my grandma and grandpa's house. I walk in there with my hat on backwards. Dude, grandpa, dude, I wouldn't probably stand in there 5 seconds with them out saying, hey, turn that hat around, boy. It's like, oh, my goodness. So it's funny, dude, but that's going to be great. But hey, dude, in other news, did you know IHC is going on?
I did. Is it Fashion Week? I'm sorry.
It is. Dude, no, man. It is.
I'm just joking, yes, people. I know there's people that listen to go to IHC. I'm just kidding.
Why are you kidding? It's true. I don't apologize for truth. I mean, you know, it's like, dude, I have seen ladies when I was a kid changing their clothes 2 and 3 times a day, and it's like, goodness, are you sweating that bad? Like, what? You know, like, goodness, have you spilled like all that food that you've been shoveling down all day? Are you like, you spilling all over your clothes or what? I mean, goodness.
You are going hard at it, man.
Dude, probably 5 minutes before this podcast started, man, I actually looked up Facebook and it just happened to pop up, IHC. Mm-hmm. And it was a Bible school. I don't know which Bible school it was. They actually weren't half bad. They were singing that song, Jesus Never Fails. And it sounded like a Disney production, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've listened to some of the music from Aries here. Yeah, they got it together.
I was actually more impressed. I mean, the guy would sing a little tune, and then the woman would come in and sing a little tune. And I was like, okay. Then the choir would kind of come in there and butcher it up. And then they would kind of come back in there. You know, I was like, okay, all right.
And then they would just finish with let it go, let it go.
Let it go. Please, please, let it go. Oh, man. Oh, dude. No, man. Have you heard any of the preaching from there lately or no?
I have. There was a preacher the other day at a holiness church, and he made the comment that there are people that watches his live stream every single week to try to dissect everything he says. And I was like, how do you know I'm watching?
Yeah, I'm busted. Doggone it.
Man, I thought I was incognitus.
Every time you pop up on their live stream, it just says Hillbilly Broadcast. Oh, dude.
Well, my opinion is that's true. And if you're not ashamed of what you're saying, then don't worry about who's watching. And if they're dissecting, yeah, exactly. Then, you know, if you can defend against it. Yeah, I do watch a lot because I'm curious as to what's being preached. I like my mindset to be pushed back on.
Yes, absolutely.
As well. So I'll listen to them and try to figure out if I'm still on the right track or not.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, too. if you don't want us to dissect it, how about you just start preaching truth and facts, and then you don't have to worry about us dissecting it, because there would no longer be anything to dissect.
Dude, you're a savage, yo.
I bet you all this will be cut out, won't it?
Heck no.
Oh man, dude, if they didn't like me before, they definitely aren't gonna like me now. Have mercy. Now tell me, if you don't mind, of course you can edit out if you want, who was the preacher that said that? Okay, gotcha. Okay. To dissect his sermons.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I think we've referenced him maybe a time or two on the podcast, but I always thought it was in a positive light. So I don't know, like, I don't think we've thrown a major amount of shade his way.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, honestly, I've always tried to be nice to certain of those preachers because, I mean, I know a lot of them, you know, and so do you. So it's like, I try not to be just outright mean, you know, that's not my intent anyways.
Right.
But I'm also not the type to, dance around the issue either.
Well, and a lot of times too, a lot of stuff that we say jokingly. We just after every joke, hey, I'm joking. And I think
I'm kidding.
Yeah. We're pretty savage with each other. And maybe we're a little harder on other people than they're used to. Yeah. But we do a lot of jokers, like the whole Fashion Week thing, the whole, you know, it's like, hey, I would expect somebody to throw jokes at me like that. Like, to me, that's fun. But some people don't really know how to handle that.
They don't. A lot of them don't.
I'll give you, for instance, I was at a church camp one time when I was a kid, and I don't remember if I've told this story on the podcast or not. And I made a joke. I think I have. I made a joke about beer and pretzels.
Ah, yeah.
I was like 12 years old. Yeah, the old beer and pretzels. And dude,
it gets you every time.
It got me this time, I'll tell you that. One of the holiness leaders, they took me aside, dude, and they freaking lit me up. Because I had the nerve to make a joke about beer and pretzels.
Beer and pretzels. Now, what you should have said was wine and pretzels, and then it would have been more biblical. So today, or was it today or yesterday, I was at work and I was joking around with the guys because, you know, some of the guys at work are pretty conservative. And they said something about, one of the guys said something about, you know, redneck saying, hold my beer. And I said, you know, I said, actually, the one that actually brought that on was Jesus. I said, his first miracle he did, I said, he said, hold my wine and watch this. And they kind of chuckled, but they didn't really know how to take that one. that's actually, I can't take credit for that. That's not original. That's a Jace Robertson saying right there.
Well, if it's good enough for Jace Robertson, it's good enough for me.
Yes, because I like Jace Robertson.
Dude, I would travel a long ways to hear one of those guys preach.
I would too. Honestly, man, Jace Robertson actually has that. I don't know if you've ever heard him talk about that plantation they have down there that him and his wife bought.
Yeah, was that Louisiana or Texas?
Yeah, I believe that's in Louisiana.
Okay,
I believe. And but you can Airbnb that out, and you can stay there. And I would love to go down there and stay a couple nights and then go to one of their church services. Now, my luck, I would go down there the week they're not there, but I would love to go down there and see if I could, you know, just to hear him preach or teach or, you know, speak. It'd be amazing.
It has crossed my mind to go down there, like drive or fly down just to go hear Phil preach at, what is that? White's Ferry Road University Church, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. I think, Well, dude, we ought to just make plans to do it together, man.
We should.
We really should.
We'll just show up down there. Hey, you know, want you guys to have us over for dinner. And you know, we did drive all this way.
We did drive all this way, Brother Phil.
You owe us, man.
I heard that there was a guy that I guess he called Al, got in touch with Al, and he said he wanted to have dinner with Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson told him, said, No, you know, I'm okay. You know, me and Mr. K are just up here, you know, kind of relaxed. You know, we really don't want any visitors right now. So I told him, well, I'll call back and said, Dad, this guy really wants to have dinner with you and Mom. You know, and he said, no, not going to do it. That guy told Al, I said, tell him I'll pay him $30,000 to do it.
Holy cow.
So he calls back and said, Dad said he's offering $30,000 to eat dinner. And he said, I'll have Miss K get the stove on. Oh, man. I thought that was funny. I was like, dude, that's awesome right there.
That is good. So that's just something to keep in mind if any one of our fans want to pay $30,000 to have dinner with us.
Yeah. We'll take you out to McDonald's. Oh, man.
I'll make you the finest hamburger helper you've ever had.
That's all we can afford.
Oh, my Lord.
Dude, no, I'll tell you. But IHC, man. You know, IHC really was a blast when I was a kid. And I just hate that they moved it over into Gatlinburg. Not because I don't like Gatlinburg. I love Gatlinburg. But, man, that's a 6.5-hour run for me. You know, back when it was at Dayton, you know, I could run 1 hour and 45 minutes and I could be there, you know, so I could go for like a day trip.
Why'd they change it from – why'd they leave Dayton?
From what I understood was Dayton was not going to open up their convention center. The restrictions were just ridiculous. But I hear that from them moving it from Dayton to Gatlinburg, I hear that the numbers have just went up a ton. Because you know, Gatlinburg is just a great tourist attraction, you know.
I would imagine because you can go right straight from the Old Smoky Moonshine Distillery straight over to IHC.
Yeah, buddy. Why didn't I go there this year, doggone it? Man, now I'm regretting not going to IHC. Dude, no joke. When I was a kid, I was probably 16, 17. Me and Mariah were just dating. And we were sitting in service. And, you know, there in Dayton, just down the road was from the convention, was an Arby's. And so I told Mariah, I said, I'm hungry. And so we left the service, went down and got a few of them Arby's sandwiches. I shoved them in my pants, walked them back into service, went up in the top bleachers and heard somebody preach and eat my roast beef sandwiches. But man, if I knew I could have had some Old Smoky moonshine with it, man, I would have been set.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Man. Heck yeah, dude.
Dude, the circles that I used to run in, they preached against IHC.
Oh, so you were a little stricter than I was.
Yeah, I think so. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, it's the, what is it, Inner Church Holiness Convention?
I think so. International Holiness Convention or something like that.
Yeah, it was preached against in some of my circles. They would always tell this story. And you know how stories can be, so I really don't put much stock in it.
Yeah.
So I'm not defaming IHC when I say this. I'm just pointing out a ludicrous story that I heard.
Yeah.
Story was that somebody talked to a hotel manager in Dayton, Ohio, which was the hotel that all the holiness people would stay in. And the hotel manager said, during that week that IHC is here, porn usage goes through the roof.
That was all me. Oh, my Lord.
Why do I believe that?
Because it's true. I'm just joking. It's really not, but. Dude, well, I mean, okay, so say that's true. Say that story is true. Okay, yeah. Man, dude, you had so many freaking holiness boys, you know, 15, 16-year-old boys, like, just running around with all these girls. And I mean, like, I'm not excusing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, it could have possibly been true. I mean, dude, like, it was a known thing that if you were 15, 16 years old, man, you were going there to look for a girl. Like, you want to see them skirts. You know what I'm saying?
See them skirts, yo.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that very well could be, but man, like, is that the only thing you really can point at it and be like, I mean, that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that, but it's like, man, don't penalize the parents, you know, and the good people because, you know, there was a, you know, maybe a bunch of teenage boys that were, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You know.
Well, and here's the thing too. If all those guys, which I don't believe that story, but if all those guys did have a porn addiction, wouldn't you want them in church?
Yeah, church is the best place for them.
Trying to get help for it?
Where else do you want them? At the beach? Oh, goodness.
Well, here's the thing, too. Here's why I don't really believe it. Because it's not verifiable. You know, it was just told. It's like, I was told that somebody talked to the hotel manager. All right, so what is this, like 15th hand information?
Well, and that's exactly right, man, because I've heard that same story. And you're right. Like, how many years has that story been going around? Like, dude, that story is like forever old.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
And I will say this. When I heard that story, it was back before smartphones come along. So it was a lot harder to obtain porn back then. So, like,
it was.
Here's what I don't understand. I remember Gavin used to say all the time, he's like, think it through. So some dude's there with his wife and kids to go to IHC, and you're in a one-room motel, and somehow he's going to find the time to watch porn while his wife and kids are asleep, like, in the same motel room? I don't...
Yeah.
This seems logistically really hard to do.
No, it would. I mean, I see it. Now, how I used to do it is take the TV in the bathroom with me. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm lugging a 50 inch to the bathroom. No, you're exactly right though. You're right, because that is before smartphones and stuff. So you would had to watch it on the TV. And dude, let me tell you something, man. IHC has you so stinking busy. Dude, I don't really see how there'd ever be time to just go up to the room and just, you know. I mean, it's possible, but man, no.
Well, in fact, if a man did have time to attend all the activities there and watch porn, I'd be pretty impressed. I mean, this man's time management skills are impeccable.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm kidding for all the fundamentalists in the back of the room.
Oh, man.
Dude. Oh, jeez.
It's true, man. Oh, we've had some good fun tonight, man.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
It's been really good.
I enjoy a little laid back, even though we still hit on some serious stuff. But here's the thing. When me and you get together, this is like we talk about serious stuff. And
we have
a lot of dark humor, so we laugh at a lot of things probably most people wouldn't laugh at, but
most people would probably they'd probably frown upon us.
Well, here's the thing: you can sit and cry about it, or you can make a joke out of it. And I mean, I still think it's serious, whether I'm laughing about it or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.